Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's video, I want to give you an update on Sri Lanka. Now, if you've been following the channel, you'll know that I've posted a few videos on Sri Lanka, and we were concerned that things were starting to deteriorate. Well, unfortunately, the situation has now got much worse, and the country is now on the verge of collapse. The new Prime Minister has announced that they have run out of currency entirely and they only have enough gasoline supplies to last for one more day. So this is a country that is now on the verge of complete chaos. And in recent videos, I talked about the protests that had started against the current president, and those protests now have got violent, and unfortunately, people are starting to die. And I'll tell you later about an MP that was reportedly beaten to death by an angry mob. So we're starting to get to anarchy and chaos in Sri Lanka. So in this video, we'll have a recap of exactly what the problems are in Sri Lanka, how it got itself into this situation, and how the war in Ukraine has really tipped the country over the edge. We'll look at the balance of trade and exactly what imports Sri Lanka relies upon. We'll have a look at the statement that was made by the new Prime Minister, exactly what the problems are in the immediate term. We'll then talk about gasoline and food supplies. I'll then give you an update on tourism, a few interesting developments on that front, because Sri Lanka has been dependent on tourism in the past, firstly for generating some income for the economy, but also for generating currency, which it needs to buy gasoline and food in the international markets. And then we'll have a look at some of these protests that have turned violent, what's been going on with regards to the police and the army, and whether or not there is a chance that this could descend into full-term anarchy. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think is likely to happen in Sri Lanka over the next 3 to 6 months, and what the implications of this are for the global economy. So before we get started on all of that, if I can ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video if you're enjoying the content, and also to subscribe if you haven't done so already. And don't forget, I always include chapters, so if there's a section you're not that interested in, it's really easy to skip over it. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look in the description below where you'll find links to Buy Me A Coffee, Patreon, and there's also YouTube's Super Thanks feature. Sri Lanka has a population of around 22 million and is a net importer of goods. It doesn't have a lot of natural resources that the rest of the world wants. The biggest single asset of the country is its people. It's a low labour economy. And around 50% of all of its exports are garments and clothing, which are made mostly by hand. The biggest agricultural product in Sri Lanka is tea. The rest of the agricultural side of Sri Lanka is focused predominantly on producing food that's eaten by the population of the country. And if you look at the balance of trade for Sri Lanka, you can see that the country has been running a net deficit for more than 10 years. So that means that it's importing more than it's exporting. And just like your checking account, if you're spending more than you're earning, you will start running up debt. And that's exactly what Sri Lanka have done. Over the last 10 years or so, they've got themselves into around $50 billion worth of debt. And if we look at the products that Sri Lanka is importing, it is entirely dependent on energy imports and food imports. Last year, it imported oil and coal to the value of around $3.4 billion, and the food imports equated to around $2.5 billion. So when a country gets into this situation where it's importing more than it's exporting, either it needs to create new ideas and ways of generating foreign currency to pay for all of those imports, or it's going to need handouts or bailouts or debt from third parties. And the biggest problem for Sri Lanka right now is that they have run out of all foreign currency, and so they can no longer afford to buy any more food or oil imports. And that has put the country into a critical situation. The current president of Sri Lanka is Gotabaya Rajapaksa, and he was voted into power in 2019 after a series of bombings took place on the island, which had a devastating impact on the tourist industry for the country. The new president made a variety of promises about tax cuts and went about reducing the rate of VAT from 15% to 8%, and also abolished a variety of other taxes, which meant that around a million people out of the 22 million population no longer paid any tax at all. These tax cuts led to a big fall in the amount of tax that Sri Lanka was receiving and started putting pressure on the economy of the country. One of the other major decisions that the president made was in May 2021, he announced an outright ban on all chemical fertilizers, claiming that the chemicals were poisoning the water tables in Sri Lanka and causing health problems for the population. Now, Sri Lanka is an island and has a finite amount of land, and therefore it uses intensive farming methods. So fertilizer is an important part of the farming process to make sure that the yields are maximized. The ban on chemical fertilizers proved to be an absolute disaster for all farmers, and in November 21, the ban was subsequently moved and major subsidies were paid to all of the farmers to supplement their income for all of their lost yields. The knock-on impact of the fall in yields from all of the farmers meant that Sri Lanka was short of food and therefore had to import more food from the international markets. So the timing of the war in Ukraine was absolutely disastrous from Sri Lanka. They were exposed to the international prices for wheat and rice and corn and a lot of other food commodity items at exactly the time when all of these prices increased dramatically. The president has now lost his popularity amongst the people of Sri Lanka, and he's been accused of nepotism as he appointed his brother as the prime minister after he was elected. At the start of April, the entire cabinet of Sri Lanka resigned, 26 ministers all walked out, and at the start of May, the president's brother eventually resigned as prime minister. The president's political party no longer has a ruling majority, and he's subsequently appointed a member of one of the other parties as the new prime minister. The new Prime Minister of Sri Lanka was appointed on the 12th of May, and one of the first tasks in his new job was to make an announcement to the country that they now only have one day's worth of gasoline left in the whole of the nation. In his address to the country, he stated, "At the moment, we only have petrol stocks for a single day. The next couple of months will be the most difficult ones of our lives. We must prepare ourselves to make some sacrifices and face the challenges of this period." He went on to say that the country needed $75 million in foreign exchange to pay for essential imports. In November 2019, our foreign exchange reserves were at $7.5 billion. However, today it is a challenge for the Treasury to find $1 million. He also warned that power outages, which have already lasted up to 8 hours a day, were likely to worsen in the next 2 months. Whilst there are ships carrying fuel in the harbour of the capital city, Colombo, the Prime Minister admitted that the government could not currently afford to pay for them, even as people queued in desperation for hours outside petrol stations. He also confirmed in his speech that supplies of 14 critical medical supplies on the island are running out. If we look at the current economic metrics for Sri Lanka, we can see that the Sri Lankan rupee has deteriorated in value significantly over the last month or so, as the cost of fuel and food has risen in the international markets, mostly as a result of the Ukraine war, we have seen a massive fall in the value of the rupee. And of course, the implication of that is that it's making everything more expensive when they're having to buy things in. So that's accentuating the problem. And the current rate of inflation in the country is reported to be 30%. However, that's the official rate as at the end of April. The actual rate of inflation in the country is significantly higher than that, and there are lots of reports of food inflation being 50 or 100% or even more than that. But the economic metrics really just give us a flavour, an indication as to what's going on. They're the warning sign that there is trouble ahead. What the real problem is in Sri Lanka right now is the absolute shortage. The government have run out of money. They are no longer able to pay for deliveries of oil or food. And without oil and food, then the country is genuinely going to go into blackouts. We've already got partial blackouts in the country, so they're looking at 5 to 8 hours a day. That's likely to rise to 15 to 20 hours a day. So most of the time, people will be sitting in the dark with no electricity at all. But that's not the biggest concern. The bigger concern here is that they're running out of food. So if you can't actually get any food for your family, that's the point when you start protesting and rioting. And that's what we're starting to see in Sri Lanka right now. Before we move on to the protests, I want to talk about tourism, because in the past, tourism was a really important part of the Sri Lankan economy. Firstly, it brought lots of revenue into the country, but secondly, it brought lots of foreign currency into the country. And that's really important when you're buying things in the international markets. And it also provides you with a hedge against that fall in the value of your own currency. Because if you're receiving in dollars and euros and other currencies, then you can just keep that and it doesn't deteriorate in value, even if your own currency is tanking. And prior to 2019, tourism employed around 10% of all of the people in Sri Lanka. Now, unfortunately, in 2019, there were some terrorist incidents on the island, which had a negative impact on tourism. And as the country tried to recover from that problem, the COVID-19 pandemic hit and killed all tourism around the world. So for the last 3 years, the tourist industry in Sri Lanka has been on its knees. And this has had a massive impact on the finances for the country. That's one of the reasons why their currency reserves have dwindled to nothing and they don't have the ability to be able to buy things in the markets. And we've just had two further announcements that's going to make the situation worse. Firstly, the international travel business TUI, which is a German-based business that has operations all across Europe and is one of the biggest operators in and out of Sri Lanka, has just announced that it's cancelled all future flights to Sri Lanka. Because of what's going on right now with the civil unrest and the protests and the lack of fuel and everything else in the country, TUI have made the decision that they no longer want to fly any planes into Sri Lanka. So that means that the tourist industry is going to be hit overnight. We are not going to see any tourists arriving from Europe in the foreseeable future. So that's going to make things even worse for Sri Lanka. And partly because of what's going on right now and also what's been happening over the last 3 years, Sri Lankan Airlines has announced that it's in massive financial difficulty. We could see that business going out of business and being closed down and not operating at all in the future. So overall, we've got a disastrous situation here because the tourist industry could have been something that may have helped Sri Lanka get itself out of this situation. But as it looks right now, it's getting worse because tourism is being closed down. The operators no longer want to fly into the country and Sri Lanka's own airline is bankrupt. I'm often asked the question, what happens when a country goes bankrupt? What does that look like? Because obviously the country still exists, all the people still live there. It's not like you can close it down and shut up shop. Everything has to carry on. The people need to keep living. So what does a bankrupt country look like? Well, Sri Lanka is a really great example of what happens when a country is on the verge of bankruptcy. You get shortages of all the essential items that people need to live. And gasoline shortages get a lot of profile and coverage because it means that people can no longer drive their cars, they can't go to work. If you're in a business that needs fuel, it means your business is closed down overnight. So that gets a lot of profile. But the biggest factor when you're looking at a country going bankrupt is the supply of food. If you no longer can supply food to your population, then they're going to react to that. And the way that people react is by protesting initially, but if nothing happens from those protests, then people get angry and you'll start to see looting and then you may even see rioting and ultimately you will see a change of government because the people will be protesting against the ruling party and at some point that ruling party will need to be changed and something will need to be done to try to resolve the problem. And that's exactly what we're seeing in Sri Lanka right now. So we started seeing some peaceful protests a month or so ago and the government reacted by introducing a state of emergency and curfews. We then saw the protests starting to get more violent and the government reacted by authorising the police to shoot on sight and one protester was killed in one of the early protests. And what we're seeing now is the protests are becoming more violent. So in the most recent protests, we've seen MPs' houses torched. So they're burning down people's homes. And in response to that, we've seen more gunfire. And it's reported that 8 people died in a recent protest. But the culmination of all of these events has led recently to the death of one of the MPs and his bodyguard. The bodies of the MP and his bodyguard were found stripped after the event, and it now looks likely that he was killed as part of that protest. So this is obviously now getting really serious, and it's getting to the point where somebody needs to help out Sri Lanka. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, clearly what we've got in Sri Lanka right now is a humanitarian disaster. The country has been mismanaged. It left itself on the brink of bankruptcy at the end of 2021. Some very poor decisions were made by the government. They decided to reduce all of the taxes. But the problem is when you reduce taxes, it reduces your income. And unless you've got some other way of supplementing it, at some point you're going to run out of money. So it's a populist thing to do. It makes you very popular for a short period of time to reduce taxes. But actually, if you're damaging the health of your country, then in the long term, nobody wants that to happen. And that's exactly what's been going on. We have seen the current government run down all of the money in the country, and they've now got to the point where they don't have any left. And the war in Ukraine has come at a really bad time for Sri Lanka. They were already out of cash. And the decision that was made in 2021 to ban chemical fertilizer meant that the country didn't produce as much food as it normally would. There are reports that the yields in Sri Lanka right now are at around 25% of the average yields for the last 5 years. So that means that they've got three quarters less food that's homegrown, and they therefore have to buy in even more from the international markets. So the increase in the price of all food substances and oil that's been caused by the Ukraine war has really killed off Sri Lanka's hopes of being able to see themselves through this crisis. And what we've got right now is a shortage of gasoline and a shortage of food and no money left in the kitty. So Sri Lanka needs to be bailed out immediately. Now, they've been talking to the IMF about getting a bailout put in place, but the IMF wants to see reform put in place so that Sri Lanka can work its way out of this problem and eventually pay the money back. So they want changes to the tax regime, and they want a variety of other things being done by the country, which take time. So it's likely that the IMF deal will take another 2 or 3 or possibly 6 months to put in place. And Sri Lanka just don't have that time to be able to wait, because they need to put food on people's tables immediately. So the other options that they've got are from their two trading partners, who are India and China. And both India and China have been building their relations with Sri Lanka over the last 20 years or so. And India have already provided a lot of assistance during this crisis. It's reported that India have provided around $2.5 billion worth of credit lines. So they've essentially been giving gasoline and fuel and food for free to Sri Lanka, on the basis that they'll get paid back at some point in the future. China have been investing in infrastructure in Sri Lanka over the last 5 years or so. They invested into a port which Sri Lanka could no longer service the debt on, and the Chinese took a 99-year lease on that port as a negotiated settlement. And that caused a lot of concern around the world that China could potentially use that as a military base at some point in the future. And the Chinese are currently investing into a variety of other infrastructure projects. And they're now talking to the Sri Lankan authorities about providing a 1.5 billion loan to help them through this crisis. So it looks likely that the outcome here for Sri Lanka is that they're going to need to take more debt on from both India and China. And one of the big questions is, what will the terms and conditions of that debt be? Because it's unlikely that Sri Lanka will ever be able to pay it back. When you look at the economy of Sri Lanka, they don't really have anything that's going to generate a large amount of money that would enable them to pay people back billions of dollars. So the only other option that Sri Lankan authorities have is to strike some form of deal. Something like the deal that they did with the Chinese, where they've given away one of their ports. It's likely that they'll have to do deals like that with the Indian authorities and the Chinese authorities at some point over the next few years. So what we are seeing here is a change in the balance of power in Sri Lanka. We are seeing India and China getting more involved, and they're going to have more influence in the country going forward. So it will be interesting to see how these deals pan out and what happens to the politics in Sri Lanka. In my view, I think we are looking at a change of government in the immediate future. The people of Sri Lanka are really unhappy with what's been going on, and they want to see a change made at the top. How that pans out really depends upon who takes over and what policies they have and what deals they sign with people like India, China, and the IMF. So it's going to be a really interesting period over the next 3 to 6 months. In terms of what impact this will have on the global economy, well, this is bad news, because Sri Lanka have already defaulted on their debt, so they won't be paying that back. And this will have contagion. So the rating agencies will now be nervous that other countries are going to follow Sri Lanka. And in all likelihood, they will, because what's happening in Ukraine right now has caused the price of oil and food to spike. And most countries around the world can't afford those price increases. So we will see more defaults, and we will see more countries needing a bailout. And ultimately, somebody has to pay for that bailout, and it will be the Western world. So this is basically just adding more debt into the global economy. And it's highly likely that we will be heading towards a global recession at some point, either later in 2022 or early 2023. So I'll keep you posted on any further news and developments from Sri Lanka as and when they occur. If you've liked what I've said today, then please give me a thumbs up, and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already. Hey guys, just a very, very quick update on Joe Blogs 2. I think we are now at the point where we should be through 4,000 hours. It takes a couple of days for the stats to feed through on the YouTube system, but last time I looked, we were at 3,978 hours. So we are basically there now. So now I need to ask you guys to start working on those videos. If you've been thinking about it, or maybe you've done some of it, you've started doing some filming, now's the time to focus, get involved, get that camera, get that microphone, get something made up, make it as professional as you can, get an overriding theme and a topic and a title, make a thumbnail if you can, and then once you're ready, contact me, and then we can start talking about how we get that video posted up onto the channel and how the economics will look for you. So thanks for watching this part of the video, and thanks for watching this whole video all the way through to the end.